This podcast is supported by JBS International Incorporated through a grant award from the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, with 0% finance with non-governmental sources. The contents are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the official views of, nor an endorsement, by HRSA, HHS, or the U.S. government. For more information, please visit HRSA.gov. Welcome into another episode of Rural Roads, the R-Corps podcast. I'm your host, Tim Rabel, with JBS International. Before we jump to today's episode, a few R-Corps TA reminders. Have you visited the R-Corps TA portal recently? Hopefully, that answer is yes, because it is the best way to stay up to date with all the latest and greatest R-Corps resources, info, and other opportunities. From the portal, you can dive into various toolkits or templates, engage with different learning modules on the LMS, visit our core corner and read past newsletters, rewatch past webinars, you get the idea. Also, be sure to connect with our core TA on social media. You can find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And now, let's get to today's episode. Welcome into another episode of Rural Roads, the R-Corps podcast. I'm your host, Tim Rabel, and we are back with Robert Childs and Donald McDonald for What's Happening Part 3. Donald and Robert, thank you for joining. As always,
pleasure.
Thanks for having us, Tim.
Of course. And this edition, we're excited to have special guest, fellow technical expert lead at JBS, Jordan Brandt. Thanks for joining. Jordan.
Happy to be here.
So for folks who haven't tuned in to this kind of iteration of the podcast, it's one of the more unscripted kind of episodes where we truly just talk about what's happening. In this case, RSV is coming up. The three folks we have on are involved with lots of different initiatives within our core. Some other stuff comes up from time to time, and we talk about it all and cover as much as we can in the amount of time that we have. So again, appreciate you all joining. Jordan and Robert, I want to pop over to you two. You're both co-presenting on the Georgia Needs Assessment work you all did previously. Would you be able to jump in a little bit, just expand on what's going to get covered in that session? Jordan, maybe we'll start with you.
Robert and I worked together back at the end of 2022 to survey people who use drugs across five different sites, mostly in northern Georgia, and got to learn a little bit about what is happening in their lives, trends in use, and also what they want from supportive programming. And there were some really important, really eye-opening takeaways that I think took both of us by surprise. And so we're going to get a chance to share some of those results and talk about the implications of them at the reverse site visit, and then hopefully share with grantees how they could replicate something similar in their area if they want to.
That's a nice teaser.
Yeah.
Got me excited.
It was a really neat experience. As some folks know, in my personal time, I actually do harm reduction work in rural and suburban Northwest Georgia, as well as in Southeast Tennessee. And it was really awesome to get some of the folks that I've been serving to participate in the survey and start getting information about what's actually happening with their personal drug use, and then seeing trends throughout the entire North Georgia region. And one of the things that we were looking to see what was happening, especially with fentanyl use, is how many people are using stimulants before or after using fentanyl to counteract the intensity of the fentanyl. So we actually were able to measure that and look at trends. And then another big one was, there is actually some syringe access in the jurisdictions that we were doing the work, but we were finding people weren't getting enough syringes for the amount of times that they were having ejection events, which of course then can lead to increased wounds, increased endocarditis, increased viral hepatitis and HIV. And so that was that thing that was definitely like straight on top of my mind when I was looking at the data. And then the other big thing was the amount of people using alone was off the charts. And the amount of people who may use alone sometimes was off the charts, meaning that if they did OD from fentanyl or fentanyl plus xylazine or fentanyl plus other drugs, nobody was going to be there to help them out. And that is wicked concerning and also something we need to think about within our core, where what can we do to help folks who are in that conundrum in rural spaces to help them maintain their health and maintain their life? And what can we do to build supports? And I think that's something we definitely need to look at going forward, is how to help people who that is how they consume drugs. How do we keep them alive? How can we support them in the best way possible? And so that was something that popped off the charts for me. And then the last thing I did want to mention that popped off the charts, and we got a lot more details in our session, I'm not revealing all our secrets here, is the amount of people who are hungry, right? The number one thing people asked for was food. And that should tell you about food scarcity, about the what we need to be adding in with our non-federal dollars, and making sure that we are offering people their services for their number one need. So do we need to add food pantries? Do we need to build connections with entities that can bring more food to our people? What are we going to do about that? And how can we help people and link them to like affordable food sources and not just more expensive food sites because of food scarcity and supermarket scarcity in rural regions? So those things popped off. But I'm saving the quick, awesome hitters for folks who come to the session, because that's where it's at. And you get to learn all our secrets that Jordan and Robert helped discover in the study. And I have to say, it is an absolute joy and wonder to work with Jordan Pregrant a little extra in my life. She is awesome. And always. She is amazing at helping out with needs assessment. So it was a joy and a delight to be able to work with Jordan Pregrant.
The word that
you're too kind. You know, I know it's just audio, but I'm sitting here blushing.
When did you all wrap that up?
We conducted the study itself and the surveys from September to December 2022, and then did all of the data analysis the beginning of 2023. But one not secret, but finding that I think we should reveal, because I realize this is only going to come out after the reverse site visit anyway, is that of the survey respondents, and we included just over 200 surveys, individual respondents in this analysis, three out of four shared that they had used multiple types of substances in the last 3 months. So we're seeing really high rates of polysubstance use. And 39% reported that they are using stimulants to counter the strength of fentanyl. And we're hearing so much about the fourth wave of the overdose crisis, that it's characterized by polysubstance use. We're hearing a lot of information about the contaminated drug supply, and that obviously plays a really big role in this. But I don't think there had been really clear data before to say that people who are using opioids are indicating the need to use stimulants to balance those effects. And it's evident then that people they don't want these effects necessarily, right? Fentanyl is not what people want, but it's what is available. And so as we think about outreach and education for folks, it has pretty wide implications.
I gotta say, if there's one time slot I would not really want, it's day two of the last breakout session, 4 to 5. But if there's any two people who could bring the energy and have a good session at that time slot, that's probably you two. Thursday, 4 to 5. Donald, I was joking with at least Robert that I feel like I can look at certain session titles and without knowing the presenters, just be like, oh yeah, that's... So, and lo and behold, I saw the session involving peer support and your initiatives, and I was like, that sounds like Donald. And then look at that. It's Donald. So I was wondering if you could... There's a couple of recovery questions I have. I want to get into peer hour, talk about the all recovery meeting options. But that's your session. I know you're co-presenting, but anything you can shine a little bit of light on in advance of next week?
Absolutely. Super excited to be bringing this. I'll be partnering with my old friend Emily Riblett from Georgia Council for Recovery. Recently has undergone a name change from Georgia Council on Substance Abuse because we have smoke and gun data showing the negative valence associated with the label substance abuser, and they have changed their name. So Georgia Council for Recovery, and they are a statewide recovery community organization who is partnering with a good number of our Georgia grantees.
Robert Donald, I know Jordan knows this, but did you know that the Omni itself admits that the hotel is haunted? Donald, did you?
I'm trying not to think about it, brother.
You know, Jordan and I were trying to be friendly. We invited her to co-host the Innovation Tank with us, but we got ghosted.
I'm 1 year old and the dad jokes have taken over.
Anyways, I want to talk about a lot of different stuff, actually, still with the things related to the RSV, but wanted to ask each of you what you're looking forward to in particular. Any session, something broader? I always love just the energy and like the hallway conversations, like that kind of stuff. But Robert, anything in particular you're looking forward to?
I'm a little biased, but one is seeing all my coworkers who I may not have actually seen human to human before. And so there's people I've known for 3-4 years, I've never met them. And so in person. So I am pretty excited about meeting some folks who I've never met in human form together. And then also, I'm really psyched to see the PsychSTEM grantees, because a lot of them, I've been talking to them for a couple of years now and working with them, and I've never got to meet with them one-on-one. And just seeing folks I haven't seen in a while, seeing folks I haven't been able to talk to in person, for me, that's always the biggest thing. And then the other thing is connecting some folks who are doing similar work and similar projects in rural spaces across the states, and letting them meet each other and get excited about doing a lot of similar work and sharing ideas and such. And that's why I think it's on the end of Wednesday too. We have those themes at the end of the day, and you can go in with a theme group. I'm hosting the harm reduction group and the amount of light bulbs. Yeah, the affinity groups. I love those things where folks can all get together under a certain topic who are all jointly interested in it and sharing ideas, sharing experiences. Like the one we ran on harm reduction last year, I think we went for 2.5 hours. And because there was so much that folks were experiencing and wanted to talk about. And it was just like developing the bonds out of that. Affinity group was huge last year. And so I'm really looking forward to all of that. It's all really exciting.
Donald, I know you're on the Veterans Affinity Group this year. Is that what you had last year, or did you do the recovery one?
I was with the veterans last year. Yeah, I was. And it was a great discussion with veterans, with allies of veterans, with people who serve veterans. And we all got to share some helpful information based on our common experience. I got to share my lived experience as a veteran. So it was a great group. I'm looking forward to doing that again.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll have the recovery one. So likewise, looking forward to it. Donald, what are you most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to facilitating the all recovery meeting on Thursday night. We're going to have it Wednesday and Thursday night. I'm going to do Wednesday night. Sorry. Yeah, facilitating Wednesday night. I haven't been to an all recovery meeting in some time since I was with my recovery community center in North Carolina. It's a common peer recovery mutual aid meeting in recovery community organizations. It's all comers. This ecumenical culture of many pathways of recovery coming together with common experience. Everybody has their own subculture, whether they be NA, NA, AA, NA, Women for Sobriety, SMART, Natural Recovery, all kinds of stuff, but coming together there. You don't have to leave your identity at the door. You come in as you are. Just don't let your identity come to a place where it may make some other folks not feel welcome. So be yourself, come together. And I'm excited about that. I encourage grantees to promote diverse mutual aid society meetings, because while we've robust data from the 2020 Cochrane Review showing the positive benefits of regular association with 12-step, we have data showing positive effects with women for sobriety, Life Ring, SMART, and others. We have emerging data on digital recovery meetings. And so there's basically an educated assumption out there that coming together with a group of healthy peers with common experience and common goals, with regular coming together, you can help achieve your goals. So I'm excited about that. It's a 12-step. It is part of my identity. But after studying the SAMHSA National Survey on Drug Use and Health year after year and seeing tens of millions of people who identify as in recovery in this country, and knowing that the populations of 12-step are so much smaller than that, I'm like, who are all these people? And do they have people to people with? And come get you some. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't know if it happened at prior meetings prior to last year, but we had the one last year. We had a couple dozen people, and maybe it was like my third time or so going to a all recovery meeting at a professional conference like that. And there's something different about it that I really like. It's like that two hat type of thing where they're working in the space. They can just relay, everyone's there with common, there's some common denominators. So yeah, I agree. That's going to be great. I gave you a shout out, by the way, in that meeting, a shout out. And I'm going to bring this over to you, Jordan.
My man.
I got a plan.
Let me say something real quick first, while I'm thinking about it, for the folks out there who may be abstaining from alcohol, either in recovery or healthy lifestyle or sober curious, there is an alcohol-free bar near the hotel called Binge. So
interesting name for it.
Probably, I know. But hey.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see across DC how the bar scene is really changing. So we're seeing some totally alcohol-free bars, which is amazing, and then also seeing increasingly common on a drink list non-alcoholic cocktails for folks. Then it's really nice to see that shift and that inclusion, because I think businesses are doing it because the demand is there. People want to socialize with their friends and be there for each other. And so it's cool to see that changing, at least in DC, and I think probably other parts of the country too.
I'm happy about it. When I got into recovery, it was like Coke or Sprite, sir. And I was vexed.
Yeah. Expanding quite a bit. I put on the social wall, if people don't know what the social wall is, if you have the mobile app for the conference and you open it up, swipe one screen over and you'll see the Arcore social wall, which is just for RSV attendees. A lot of people in there now making introductions. And I just posted it. We're in a really neat part of DC for recovery meetings. It's so walkable to DuPont Circle and other nearby areas like Adams Morgan that have so many different types of recovery meetings. Every 12-step program imaginable, but also Buddhist inspired recovery programs and smart recovery and other options. Yeah, really neat in that sense. Another plug for the mobile app. There's lots of reasons you should download it to be able to see the agenda, make your own custom agenda, connect with folks. Back again this year is something called Arcore Play. You get points for, you get different codes and there's a leaderboard. The reason I'm segueing this to you, Jordan, is because when I still had grantees at the time, one of my grantees won. And I was very proud of that. And now that at least some of the grantees that transitioned over to you, I need you to carry that forward and motivate the grantees.
Noted. Okay. That is quite the torch to carry. But yes. I will see what I can do. Yeah, I remember. Emily was very dedicated, so I'm glad to see that making a comeback.
Yeah. Jordan, what are you most looking forward to?
I don't want to steal anyone else's answers, but I think Robert summed up a lot of really good points of just the highlights of being in person and getting to see grantees in person, folks that, you know, you've worked with and gotten to watch their programs develop over years and hear about it directly from them. if I had to pick a specific session that I'm very excited about, there is an implementation 3 grantee that I have been working with from your birth state, Tim, of Delaware, who launched an EMS-induced buprenorphine program for folks following overdose. And so they piloted that about 6 to 8 months ago now and have some really incredible data from it to show just really compassionate post-overdose EMS care with clear clinical guidelines and all of those pieces. And so I'm really excited for other grantees to get to hear about that, because it's just such an innovative program that I think we need to highlight and hopefully expand to other places.
Is that Brent?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that'll be great. Also, podcast plug, episode 32, we sat down and talked with Brent. If folks want to give it a listen before the session.
Oh, nice. Did he talk about the EMS program? Because they're doing lots of cool stuff.
Broader strategies, not specific to that. But yeah, the title was Integrating and Collaborating with EMS.
Nice. Love it.
So it was a good conversation. I know we're coming to the end of time. 1 minute each. Anything else you all want to add, whether it's something you're talking about with grantees lately, something you hope for grantees and folks in attendance to get out of next week, anything else, closing thoughts from each of you, if you have any. And Robert, you're the one that's off mute, so I'm coming to you first.
Oh, okay. Fabulous. One of the things I've definitely been talking with grantees quite a bit lately is some of the changes in how overdoses need to be responded to with the increased prevalence of xylazine in the drug supply, and the importance of including very clear rescue breathing instructions with folks who are having overdoses, mostly with fentanyl plus xylazine. And so we'll be talking about it in our xylazine sessions. We currently have 2 which focus on fentanyl and xylazine. And I'll be going over some of those tips and how to change your overdose response plans to re-emphasize the importance of breathing, as well as reviewing if someone doesn't return to full consciousness, that's okay, as long as we get them back to around 12 breaths a minute and monitor. That's one of the key things we'll be talking about, as well as some of the basic wound care stuff that pops out, because what often makes its presence in the media isn't necessarily the realities on the ground. And so talking about some of those myths versus realities, especially associated with folks who use fentanyl plus xylazine and potentially also stimulants to counteract some of those effects. So we will be checking in about that. I'm really excited to be sharing some on the ground information with folks so they can learn more about how to enhance the safety and dignity of people to use drugs in their home communities across rural America. So off the top of my head, that's one thing I'd definitely love to share, but I'll send it back to you, Tim.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Jordan, I know you have the hard stop. Anything you want to add before you jump off?
And I add that we haven't already talked about. No, just there's a lot of exciting things going on. And I hope folks really get a chance to reflect on the RSV afterwards. And if they have thoughts, share them back with the TELS. Share them back with our team. We want to hear from you about your impressions, what was valuable to you. Because we take all of that and learn from it and try and implement that moving forward. So excited to be able to debrief with folks afterwards.
Yeah. Thanks, Jordan. And Donald McDonald, the closing word.
I've enjoyed Rural Peer Hour. I've enjoyed collaborating a bit with the Rural Behavioral Health Workforce Cohort as well in some trainings. And I will be doing so at the reverse site visit. And one thing I always knew as a peer, what we bring to the table as far as the data-supported critical nature, the relevance of what we bring to the behavioral health continuum of care, the level of lived expertise that we bring, the credentialing that we have, I think it's never become more critical to broadly state that We need to pay peers well. We need to hire them full time with benefits. We need to equitably respect them at the round table as part of the team of folks coming together to help people find freedom and wellness. So I'm excited to speak on that and some national trends on workforce advancement for peers.
Said, as always, thank you, all three of you, for making the time to join. I always feel happier and smarter and get some good laughs in. Definitely one of the favorite episodes. So appreciate all three of you making the time to join.
Thank you.
And safe travels next week, especially you, Jordan, with that long commute. And we'll see everyone next week in DC. Thank you all for tuning in.